Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 25. So we're slowly coming to the end of chapter 12. And thank you for being faithful to our adult Bible study during this term, this year. We've been really enjoying Hebrews 12, haven't we? Learning lots of lessons about faith. You know, Hebrews 11 is the example of faith, and then Hebrews 12 is faith in action in our lives. So many more lessons to learn. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25 says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." This lesson is entitled, "Listen to Your Teacher." And here in verse 25, the main point is, don't refuse him that speaketh. Don't refuse him that speaketh. And the one that the Bible is talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, in this passage, wants to get our attention to make sure we are listening to him. And through this little passage, as we look through it, God will give us a number of reasons why we should listen. Why we should listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I heard about a little boy in school who wasn't listening to his teacher, and because he was mucking around in class and didn't want to listen and pay attention and causing trouble, the teacher had to tell his parents. And the teacher told his parents that your son is mucking around and he's not getting good grades, he's not listening, and you need to talk to him. So the parents sat their son down and they told him all that was happening, and they sternly warned him, and they said, "Look, if nothing changes, someone is going to be punished. Someone is going to get in trouble." The next day, the little boy went to school, and he came up to his teacher really concerned, and he said, "I thought I'd just better let you know that my parents said that if nothing changes, someone is going to get into trouble." Now, obviously, the little boy got it wrong. It wasn't the teacher's fault that he wasn't listening. It was his fault, wasn't it? And he surely enough learned his lesson soon enough. But we as Christians need to understand that more so, our teacher is perfect. Maybe you're here like me when you were in school. Maybe you had a teacher that perhaps ought to have been blamed for not teaching as best as they could, you know. Maybe you had classes like that in your school years. I remember at university, sadly, we had some teachers who really were teachers, and this is not how it should be. Teachers ought to be there because they want to be there. But we had some teachers in positions just because they couldn't find a job in the industry they studied in. So they decided to become teachers. And as you can imagine, that didn't work out either. And, you know, not every teacher is perfect. If we ever teach, we ought to be there because we have a passion and desire, and there's nothing else that we would rather do than to teach. That should be the desire of a teacher. And the Lord's desire is that we would listen to him. Would you agree this morning that we have a perfect teacher? We have one that will teach us everything that is true and nothing that is a lie. He will never do us wrong. Our teacher in the school of faith is perfect. But the question is, are we listening to him? Are our ears attentive to his word? Well, I'd like to give you a few reasons why we should listen to our teacher, and how does he speak? Well, notice first of all in your notes, he speaks through his blood. He speaks through his blood. And your blank is the word blood. He speaks through his blood. So that is your first blank. It might sound strange, I know, but write that word down anyway, and I'll explain in a moment. So remember, as we're looking at this little series this term, we have entitled it, "With Christ in the School of Faith." Those of you who have receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The moment you believe in the Lord Jesus, he puts you into a school And it's not like the school you grew up in. It's not like the school, thankfully, that you couldn't wait to get out of and get through year 12. Some of you year 12 students are looking forward to finishing school finally, and it'll be there before you know it. The school that God puts us in as Christians is described as a school of faith. And how many of you realize that when you become a Christian, none of us are perfect. We will never be perfect. And God has a lot more lessons to teach us. Lessons about faith. So we are in a school, a new school, a school of faith. And the Lord is our teacher. And first of all, there in your Bibles, notice that He speaks through His blood. I know that sounds strange, but look with me in verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. That's where we are this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 24. And it says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling." Last week we looked at the importance of the blood of Christ. Not many people want to talk about His blood anymore. What that means, what His shed blood means. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us through His blood. What does that mean? Well, we need to be careful to listen to the one who shed His blood to pay for our sins on the cross of Calvary. When we talk about the blood of Christ, we're not just talking about someone who died for a good cause. We're not talking about a historical person that gave a sacrifice that was worthy of their name written down in the history books of the past. No, we're talking about God who came down to this earth to be born of a virgin. And He was robed in human flesh. And He lived on this earth a sinless and spotless life. This man was no ordinary man. He is the Son of God, God the Son, who lived a sinless, spotless life, who proved Himself to be God by the many miracles and by the divine words He spoke. And then on that old rugged cross, He shed His holy blood. Why? To pay for the sins of the world. You see, we are all sinners. Every single one of us has sinned against God. We have broken God's laws. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not lie." So every single one of us who have lied, we've broken His laws. We've broken God's standards. We have fallen short of the perfect standard and glory of God. And there's nothing you and I can do to fix that. It's just like a criminal going to a court of law, telling the judge, "I know I'm guilty, I know I've done wrong, but I'll do better in the future." What will the judge do? The crime has been committed. The sentence must be passed. Doesn't matter how nice the judge is, in order for justice to be passed, then the crime must be punished. But the wonderful news is that our God, the judge, though He must punish sin in His love, He chose to do what no earthly judge in this world would ever do. He chose, yes, knowing He must punish us, He chose to take our punishment upon Himself. You see, justice must be served. And He took our judgment upon Himself on the cross. He paid in His holy blood for your sins and mine. He died the death we deserve. He paid the penalty for you. He paid the penalty for me. That's the wonderful news of the love of God. You see, God's judgment demands punishment, but His love has provided forgiveness. Imagine a judge in a court of law coming down to you as a guilty criminal and saying, "Look, you need to pay the punishment, but because I love you, I want to pay for you. You're guilty and you will go free. I'm innocent, but I'll pay the punishment." Friends, that is exactly what the Lord did. He paid in His blood. The greatest act of love the world will ever know. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then on the third day, He rose again from the dead, so that whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. You know, in May 2005, I wasn't a Christian. I was seeking. I was looking for answers. I went to a church and I heard about this for the first time. And I didn't know anything about the forgiveness of sins. I thought I was good enough to get to heaven. But then as I read God's standards and God's word and what He thought, I realized, in fact, it was impossible for me to please God. It was impossible because if I added up all the sins I know in my life, that's just 1% of the story. God sees every thought we've ever thought before. He says it sees every action we've ever committed. Friends, our sins have mounted up to the heavens, and then I realized I was guilty. But praise God for that. Because the good news is, guilty sinners like you and I can be forgiven. Once and for all, the price has been paid. I just didn't know about it. And on the 7th of May, 2005, in my bedroom in Canberra, I prayed and I asked the Lord to forgive me. I asked Him to forgive me for all my sins. And I turned from my sins and I turned to Jesus Christ and I asked Him to save me once and for all. And friends, that was the day that the blood of Jesus Christ washed me whiter than snow, cleansed me from all my sins. That's what God promises, doesn't He? That's what happened to you when you asked the Lord to save you. He cleanses us from all our sins. The payment is applied to our soul forever. And we are now forgiven. We now have the divine privilege, not the right, but the privilege because of Christ to be called Christians, to be called children of God with an eternal home waiting for us. You see, the blood still speaks today, friends. Has there been a time in your life where you realized that you were guilty, as we all are before God? But in that guiltiness, do you realize the love of God in spite of our sins? That while we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. That's how He showed the greatness of His love. He died for His enemies. He died to pay for the ones who hate Him, who have lived against Him. I lived all my life against God. I didn't care about God. All I cared about was myself. And yet the love of God has been given to this world in the greatest measure in the blood of Christ. Friends, don't miss out on His love. Now, if you are a Christian and you have received Christ, well, the greatest reason for us to listen to Him in our lives today is what? His precious blood. It's because of what He did for us. We ought to say, Lord, what do You want me to do now? Lord, what is Your direction for my life now? Lord, how would You have me to live? Now, living for God has nothing to do with going to heaven, because our eternity is settled once we receive His forgiveness. We are no longer separated from God. But in order to live the Christian life, God wants us to love the one who saved us. Living for God doesn't have anything to do with getting to heaven. Living for God is simply loving the one who loved us so much. You ought to want to love the one who saved you. You ought to want to love the one who loves you beyond words unspeakable. Friends, Christ deserves our lives. Christ deserves our greatest commitment. And when we refuse to listen to the voice of the one who has saved us with His blood, we are refusing the one who has loved us so much. And friends, we always need to come back to the wonderful, precious blood of Jesus Christ. Don't forget about His blood. There's lots of distractions in the world today. There's lots of temptations for the Christian. Lots of ways that you and I can live our life. And we do get distracted. We do fall. We do fall into temptation. Thank God His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But He is the reason why we should live for Him. He is the reason. Now, if we're here this morning, and look, to be honest, if we have no desire at all to live for God, and we just put ourselves first every single time, we live as we please, and yet we claim to be Christians, we claim to be right with God, there must be something wrong. Because as the Apostle Paul said, he said, the love of God constraineth me. It means God's love, because He's received it, compels Him and motivates Him without a shadow of a doubt to live for God. Not that he lived for God all the time, but it always brought him back to God to live for Him. Now, if we claim to be Christians and we have no care about what God wants for our lives and what He desires, and ultimately we always twist His will into ours, then there's a problem. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7. If you have a Bible, if you would be happy to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 7. And I remember reading these verses before I became a Christian, and they got my attention. Matthew chapter 7, notice verses 21 to 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Notice what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." What does that mean? Well, Jesus is saying, not everyone that claims to be a Christian is a real Christian. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, and talks about God and even teaches about Jesus is a real Christian. The Lord says, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the evidence of someone who is a Christian? But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Doing God's will doesn't get you to heaven. It's the evidence of someone who is already going there. They've received Jesus as their Savior, and they are doing God's will. They believe in God's word. They are following His word. They believe in His truth. And that's the evidence. So you notice verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, that's the judgment day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works. Well, these were religious works. These were things done in the flesh. These were false teachers, in fact, who claimed to be teachers of God, claimed to have power to exorcise demons, as many different religious leaders claim to have that power, and to work miracles, as many religious leaders do today. They say they have that power, and to foretell the future, to prophesy outside of what the Bible says. These are false teachers, and these are those who claim to be believers. Notice what the Lord says shockingly in verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." See, they never had been saved. They were living a religious life, doing religious works, but they never personally trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They never repented of their sins and asked the Lord to save them, thereby having a relationship with God through salvation. And the Lord said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, the evidence of someone who is truly a Christian, who has received Christ as their Savior, is one that desires to do the will of the Father. One who desires to listen to their teacher. And friends, this is a stern warning. If we were to examine our lives, do we really desire to do God's will? Many people call themselves Christians today. See, if you've experienced God's love, it'll be natural and normal for you to love the one, would you agree, that has loved you so much. His love is perfect, ours is not. But we ought to have a desire, amen? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's why all my friends said to me, "James, what happened to you?" And I said to them, "Look, I didn't do it. He saved me." And that's why I'm talking about him so much, not because I'm a part of a cult or have gone crazy. I found the answer to life. I found the one who saved me, who shed his blood for my sins. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I have a home in heaven. What about you? That's why I told them at work when I became a Christian. Now, some of them didn't want to listen, but I didn't care. Friends, Jesus saves today. He speaks through his blood. And if you're a Christian, are you listening to him? Well, we've stayed on this first point for a while. We better move on. Point number two, he speaks through his word. He speaks through his word. Your blank is the word, word. I made it easy this morning. He speaks through his word. If you miss any blanks there on the back page at the bottom, just to help out, he speaks through his word. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 there in your notes, notice what it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." You remember verse 5 that taught us about God's chastening, how he corrects us in this school of faith and how he works in our lives. And God is simply telling us, look, I also speak through my word. Verse 5 in chapter 12 is a direct reference to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, which says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." It's repeated, and it's a simple reminder that God speaks to us through his divine, holy, inspired word. And thank God we have the supernatural word of God. Thank God we have the word of God that proves itself to be God's word and not man's. God used man to pen his word, but he is the author. He is the creator. He inspired his word. Now, on Wednesday nights, we're going through a series entitled answers to common questions. How do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Lots of books out there, lots of different religions. Every religion must claim their book to be God's Word. But what makes the Bible so unique? What proofs do we have? Well, let me encourage you to come on Wednesday nights, or maybe listen to the messages online. And we've looked through some wonderful truths about the Word of God. But if we are Christians, we know His Word is true. The moment you cried out to Christ to save you, you experienced the truthfulness of His Word, didn't you? The promise of His Word to save you. And friends, as Christians, we need to listen to the Word of God. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to know today? Lord, what is your will for my life? When we open the Bible, we're not reading the words of Paul, of Peter, John. We are reading the divine Word of God. And thankfully, His Word is His guidebook for us. His Word is His manual for our lives. In fact, His Word is His love letter to us, describing how great His love is, describing how great His compassion, His mercies are towards you and I. What a wonderful privilege we have as Christians. But the question is, are we listening to our teacher, the Lord Jesus? Are we listening to His words? When God speaks to you, when you're reading your Bible, are you listening? Are you willing to follow? Or are you like that little children in his class who is just not really paying attention? You know, gets distracted, doing other things. What kind of report would God give you and I if He gave us a report right now in the school of faith? Are we students that are listening and putting His teachings down into our life and making them a reality, a part of our life, or are we not listening? God speaks through His Word. When the Word of God is being preached, are you listening to the Lord? Is your heart open to what God wants to teach you? You know, the most dangerous thing we can do as a Christian is just to say no to God. We can't lose our salvation, but what happens if you and I say no to God and we don't want to live for God in a specific area of our life? Friends, we miss the blessing of God in that area. The blessings of God upon your life and mine are forfeited when we walk out of the school of faith, when we don't want to listen anymore and we just go our own way. Friends, this is a serious statement in Hebrews 12:25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Friends, God is God. He is holy. And we need to not refuse Him when He speaks to us. You know, many people say, well, look, I know what God wants me to do. I just haven't made a decision yet. Have you ever said that before? I know that I have. And we need to realize when we say that, we have made a decision. The decision we have made is to say no. When we say, look, I know what God wants me to do, I just haven't decided to do it yet. It's not that we are undecided, we have made a decision. Either it's yes or it's no. We've made our decision. Our decision not to do what the teacher says is a decision to say no. Now, friends, every time we reject God's Word, our heart becomes harder and harder. The word refuse in verse 25 of Hebrews 12, in fact, means to run away. See not that ye refuse. Don't run away from God. When we say no, we run away from God in our hearts. We might be in church, but if we don't want what God is saying, what we simply need to say yes to by faith and believe in His goodnesses and His greatness in our lives, if we say no, then we are running from God. I hope you see this morning, it's so important to listen when God speaks. You know, we ought to leave church on a Sunday changed with some decisions to make, amen, in the week ahead. We ought to put God's Word into our life and say, Lord, by Your grace, by Your help, help me to live out this truth in my life. Lord, help me to love the unlovable. Only God can help us to do that, but you need to decide to love that person at work who makes you mad, you know? Now, you can only do that through Jesus' help. And you can only love someone that doesn't love you after you're saved, because He loved us, you see. and we didn't love him. So when you experience the love of Christ, well, now you know what it means to love the unlovable, because he loved you. You've received his love, and he will give you the grace and help to love someone at work and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he puts that on your heart, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening to what the Lord says in his word? Well, he speaks through his blood. That's the reason why we should listen to the Lord, the precious blood of Christ. He speaks through his word. Notice thirdly, he speaks through his spirit. There in your notes, your blank is the word spirit, Roman numeral number 3 on the second page, the back side of your notes. He speaks through his spirit. Hebrews chapter 3 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." See, when God speaks, if we listen, our hearts soften and we will follow him. If we say no, our hearts grow harder. And the more we say no to God, the harder our hearts become. I often warn our young people, our teenagers, look, if you've grown up in church and you've decided in your heart, look, I don't want Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I accept him as my Savior, I'm worried that I might lose all the good things in life. And I say to them, look, that's what I was worried about too. And that was a lie. In fact, all the good things in life come from God. And all the foolish dreams I had were always going to lead to pain and suffering. But that's how deluded we are by the lies of this world. But there are many young people who grow up in church, but they don't receive Christ because they want the things of the world. But they don't realize the more they're saying no to God, especially in the area of salvation, their hearts are growing harder. It's like a callus that continues to form layer upon layer around the heart. So that the more they hear the gospel, the harder their hearts become. And sooner than later, they no longer hear anything. Friends, as Christians, we need to be careful not to harden our hearts. How do we do that? By saying no. And the Holy Spirit of God always speaks to us. How does he speak to us? Well, he takes the Word of God and personally points out some things in our lives. You know, when I first went to church in Sydney, I turned up on a Sunday night. I could have gone Sunday morning, but just as I was about to walk out the door, I slammed it closed and I said, forget about this, I'm not going to church. You know, what is this ridiculous idea in my head to go to church? Sunday's my only day off. I work 6 days a week, and why would I spend Sunday in church? And I was worried about how my life might change if I stepped through the doors of a church. But something drew me there. Someone drew me there, even though I didn't want to go. And as I walked through the doors, I sat down, and as I listened to the preaching and the messages week after week, I thought that the pastor had a spy camera in my house and he was looking at my life and he knew exact something was up. Something was going on. I thought he was talking to me. There are many times where I sunk down into my seat and I thought, how can this be possible? How can he know about my life like this? Well, you see, it's the Holy Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and points into our lives in the way that God only can. In fact, the Bible says that God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Sharper than a sword with two edges. It pierces down into our heart to the very depths of our inner being. God knows how to get our attention. And he reaches down into our lives and points to us to our greatest need. And then finally the penny dropped and I realized I wasn't a Christian. But thank God he was willing to save. And as Christians, God continues to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to us through God's Word and teaches us the Word of God and helps us to understand the Scriptures. So we need to listen when he speaks. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is like this security alarm in the hall. When we leave the hall, we set the alarm. And if anything enters into this room, well, when the alarm is set, a motion detector sensor will pick it up and the alarm will go off. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside every born-again child of God. If you are saved at the moment of your salvation, God the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you. And when you and I sin, for example, God's alarm will go off. The Holy Spirit will knock on our hearts and say, hey, you know that's not pleasing to God. And He will remind us of what God wants us to do. He's our teacher, the Holy Spirit of God. He'll bring God's Word back to mind at that moment of temptation where we still have a choice to make. Will we say yes to our teacher or will we say no? The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Friends, God knows the temptations you'll face this week. And as you spend time in the Word of God, He'll tell you and help you and strengthen you to face those trials. But are we listening? Are we spending time with God in His Word? That's probably the biggest problem for us, isn't it? That we just don't spend time in the Word of God. We think we can take what's coming up this week, and then we realize we're overwhelmed before you know it. And yet God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me. He wants to show us what's up ahead. He wants to help us and strengthen us if we would only simply hear His voice. Don't get so busy that you don't stop to spend time at the feet of our teacher. Amen. Don't be so busy that you allow the noises of this world to crowd out the voice of God and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit leading in your life. He speaks to us through His Spirit. Lastly, notice He speaks through others. Now, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 is a great example of that. So your blank is the word others. He speaks through others. So God speaks through us because of His blood, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit of God. Then He speaks through others. The Bible says, why don't we read this verse aloud together, shall we? There in your notes, Hebrews 3:13. Let's read it together on two. One, two. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice the Bible says, but exhort one another daily. God says, if you are a Christian, I want you to exhort another believer. The word exhort means to build up. The word exhort means to encourage. The word exhort means to lead someone to the truth. That's true encouragement, even if it means saying something that they may not like. You know, I'm thankful for the people in my life that tell me regularly things I don't like to hear, but things that are true. You know, the Bible says that the person who flatters you with their lips, that tells you exactly what you want to hear, they are your enemy. They have an agenda. They're trying to twist and turn you and motivate you to do something they want you to do. But a true friend is a friend that will tell you the truth. That's a true friend. A friend that will tell you, look, hey, I can see something maybe you can't. You know, when a young person says they fall in love, you know, they get this fuzzy feeling. And then mum and dad says, hey, I don't think she's the right one. They don't like that. Why? Because they're following their feelings. And that feeling so often is so consuming that a young person can't see out of that. They're consumed. This must be the one. Why? Because she said she liked me. And he said I liked me. He liked me. So he must be the one, right? Must be the one. Well, those of you who are here this morning, I'm sure you know that's not true. Anyone can say anything today to try and get what they want. Doesn't necessarily mean that is love. Oftentimes the word love is used shockingly to replace the true word, which is lust. Not love at all. A selfish desire for self-gratification. But true love is from God. And I'm just sharing this to say, look, sometimes as Christians, we are consumed with what we want to do, and we've already made our minds up, and God sends along another believer to say, hey, you know, I've been praying for you, and I'm just watching the direction you're going in. I just want to encourage you. You may not be headed in the right direction. You know, I'm looking at what you're doing, and the Bible says that's going to lead to trouble in your life. That's going to lead to disaster. Look what God's Word says. Have a look, and you share with them the Word of God. Thank God for people like that in our lives. I thank God for my mum who confronted me that night on the 7th of May 2005. I told her, I said, look, I'm a Christian. I pray to Jesus every day. I pray to Mary at night. Sure, I'm going to heaven. What else do I need to do? And she told me some things I didn't want to hear. She basically said to me, you're not a Christian. You're just religious. I'm thankful for my mum that she was loving enough to say something which could have potentially caused me to leave the house and not come back, to be offended. But she told me exactly what I needed to hear. And that's when I went to my room and received Christ as Saviour. Thank God for those people that tell us what we need to hear. Thank God for those in our Christian lives that rebuke us. Without rebuke, the Bible says, we cannot get wisdom. We cannot grow in our wisdom. So God puts people in our lives to speak to us, to encourage us, to give us wisdom. By the way, it's not just the pastor's job. Can you see that? If you think that it's just the pastor's job to exhort, well, you're wrong. Have a look what the Bible says. But exhort one another daily. Daily. Wow. That's pretty challenging. That's pretty convicting, actually. Daily. Daily as Christians, we ought to be exhorting someone. Amen. We ought to be enjoying fellowship together. We ought to be exhorting someone daily, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be in church and have a desire to encourage someone, to exhort one another. And we need to be prepared to be a good testimony and an encouragement. You know, we need to be careful what we say, if that's true. If God wants us to exhort one another, we have to be careful what we say. You know, do we come to church and we're just pulling each other down by sharing, I don't know, gossip and bad news and things that are not encouraging? You know, if it's truthful, that's important. But if it's just gossip and if it's just, you know, this war and that disease and this disaster, friends, that is not encouraging. Are we encouraging others in the faith? Are we building each other up? Are we pointing people to the truth of God's word and the hope of God's promises? We need to encourage and exhort one another daily, not occasionally. We need exhortation. We need to be encouragers. So God speaks. And the question is, are we listening? That's the simple point in our lesson today. Are we refusing him that speaketh? Let's close with the verse that we started on. Verse number 25 in Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Friends, how much more do you and I belong to God as a Christian than when we were separated from him because of our sins? We are his. We are his children. We are his precious possession. He bought you with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if you've received him. Are you listening to him? Is his word more important to you than anything you feel like doing, than anything you feel you want to do? When God shows you a part of your life that you've been unmovable in, perhaps the way you grew up or the habits you've developed or the things that you truly believe are your personality. Hey, this is my identity. Isn't that what the world says? Most important thing is in the world is that you be you. Don't let anyone tell you any different. Well, what happens as a Christian when God says something different? When God says, hey, that is sin. That is sin. You know, that hatred, that bitterness in your heart, that's not justified. That's sin. What do we do as Christians? Do we listen to our teacher? And do we walk in his way? Or do we listen to ourselves? Let's not refuse him that speaketh. God has spoken to you this morning. Let me encourage you to share that with someone this morning so that they may encourage you. If you have any questions, we'd love to be an encouragement to you this morning.